This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Starting out with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade, beans and wheat were sharply lower yesterday, while corn was just slightly lower. March corn was down 4 cents at 374 and three quarters. May corn was down 3 3/4 cents at 383. And July corn was down 3 3/4 cents to 390 and three quarters. Soybeans for March were down 13 cents to 903 and a half. May beans were down 13 cents as well to 917 and three quarters. And July wheat was down 12 and a half cents to 931 and a quarter. March wheat was down 15 and a quarter cents to 507. May wheat was at 510 and a half, down 15 and a half. And July wheat was down 13 and a quarter to 513 and a quarter. Soybean meal for March was down $4.60 to $305.50. May soybean meal was down $4.60 as well to $309.60. And July bean meal was at $313.70, down $4.40. Soybean oil for March was down a dime to $29.89. May bean oil was at $30.23, down 11 cents. And July bean oil was down 11 cents as well to $30.57. Now we'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture for Thursday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Thursday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Thursday afternoon as the delayed corn export sales report was lower than expected from January 3rd, and China has canceled previous soybean purchases. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 4 cents lower at 331 to 357. Soybean bids were down 11 to 13 cents at 819 to 855. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 4 cents lower at 343 to 359. Soybean bids were down 10 to 12 cents at 839 to 861. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 4 to 5 cents lower at 343 to 374. Soybean bids were down 12 to 13 cents at 840 to 873. Illinois soybean processor soybean bids were 13 cents lower at 872 to 887. Basis is unchanged at 3200 to 1700 of March. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at 283.50 to 295.50 a ton, down $4.60 a ton, with basis unchanged at 2200 at 10 under the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids are 4 cents lower at 350 to 369, with basis steady at 2500 at 6 under the March. Illinois river barge flooding elevators quoted to producer corn bids 4 cents lower, 361 to 368. With basis steady at 1400 to 7 under the March. Soybeans dropped 10 to 13 cents at 854 to 865, with basis unchanged up 3 at 500 to 39 under the March. New crop wheat prices are down 10 to 13 cents at 478 to 505. Basis is steadied up 3 at 3500 to 8 under the July. East St. Louis barge floating terminal always placed their producer corn bids 4 to 6 cents lower at 386 to 389. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 13 to 15 cents, quotations at 886 to 888. Soft wheat closed down 15 to 19 cents at 537 to 538. And Milo ended the day 4 cents lower at 419 to 420. Contract bids producers for fall delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 346 to 372. Soybeans at 863 to 895. In the central part of the state, corn for fall delivery at 354 to 370, soybeans at 877 to 913. In the southern part of the state, corn for fall delivery at 339 to 375, soybeans at 866 to 898, and June-July wheat at 484 to 510. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle and feeder cattle were higher, while lean hogs finished lower. February live cattle were up 17 cents at 126.12. April live cattle were at 127.37, up 40 cents. And June live cattle were up 47 cents at 118.27. Feeder cattle for March were up 55 cents to 144.07. April feeders were at 146.50, up 42 cents. And May feeder cattle were up 42 cents as well, at 147.67. Lean hogs for February were down 5 cents to 55.10. April lean hogs were down $1.07 to 58.70. And May lean hogs were at 67.70, down 97 cents. And at this time, we'll move on to the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture for yesterday's cash livestock reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon's livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 35 cents higher in a range of $45 to $49.50, with a weighted average carcass price of $48.60. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices are steady to $2 higher with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 20 to 24, 4 to 500 pounds at 22 to 28, 5 to 600 pounds at 25 to 33, over 600 pounds at 28 to 37. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and guts at country buying points are steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 26 to 35. Receipts for Illinois barrows and guts have totaled 26,413. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $124 to $126 and on a dressed basis traded at $199. Heifers on a live basis traded at $124 and on a dressed basis traded at $200. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 310 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $62.76, which was $1.12 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcasses are $216.07, which is 37 cents lower, with select carcasses at $210.41, which was $1.60 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 117,000 compared to 117,000 for last week and 119,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 470,000 compared to 434,000 for last week and 463,000 for 1 year ago. Today we also have the Greenville Livestock Auction results. Total receipts of 784. The slaughter market for those cattle that were reported was steady. Trade was active with good demand. Slaughter steers choice 2 to 4, sold in a range of 115 to 130. Slaughter Holstein steers choice 2 to 3, sold in a range of 84 to 91. Slaughter heifers choice 2 to 4, sold in a range of 124 to 130. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Farm Bureau officials are hopeful the American Farm Bureau will be able to support the EPA's just proposed Waters of the U.S. replacement rule. American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval says in a written statement, "Release of a new draft of Clean Water Rule is a major step forward toward a fair and understandable water regulation on America's farms and ranches." While the AFB staff are still reviewing the details, Farm Bureau's Don Parrish said earlier he's hopeful the proposal will resolve big problems with the Obama-era Waters of the U.S. or WOTUS rule.
We're optimistic that this rule is going to provide the clarity that farmers and ranchers want. So, yes, I do believe it's going to be something we can support.
And largely because of outreach by the Trump EPA.
They've outreached to not only, you know, farmers and ranchers, but to states. And I think they're going to provide the clarity we need to protect water quality and provide the clarity that keeps farmers out of problems with the Clean Water Act.
Farm Bureau President Duval says a quick look at the proposed rule shows many of the earlier rule's worst problems are on their way out. He says the earlier WOTUS would have treated much of the landscape as it were water itself, forcing permits or fines for changes to sometimes wet potholes, ditches, and other land features. The 2015 rule tied up in the courts was still on the books in 22 states at the start of this year. Farmland values at the Federal Reserve's 10th District held steady in the fourth quarter of 2018, despite risks to ongoing stability, according to the Kansas City Fed's quarterly agriculture credit survey. While demand for farmland remained relatively strong across the district, weaknesses in the crop sector continued to dampen the overall agricultural economy. The report says that risks to the outlook of farmland values in the quarter included slightly higher interest rates and an uptick in the pace of farmland sales in states with higher concentrations of crop production. In addition, continued deterioration in farm finances and credit conditions could put further pressure on values for farm real estate. Looking into 2019, bankers' expectations for farmland values were slightly weaker than a year ago. Still, the report says the value of farmland continues to provide ongoing support to the farm sector and remained a key factor to monitor in 2019. The 10th District covers parts of seven different states, including Colorado, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Wyoming. It's been a rough week of weather in Washington State. Dairy farmers in the Yakima Valley in eastern Washington felt the brunt of a serious winter storm starting last weekend. Chelsea Reardon, communications director for the Dairy Farmers of Washington, says the snowfall amounts were historic.
Saturday night was really when it hit the hardest over in the Yakima Valley, and it truly was just unprecedented. I mean, it was the type of weather that farmers are saying they haven't ever even seen before. Weather had predicted that it was coming, so they did have time to get some preparations in place to, you know, making windbreaks for cattle and trying to get bedding down and draw and having extra food and water, doing all that they could, but Mother Nature just had other plans for them on Saturday.
Snowfall amounts ranged from 12 to 24 inches across the state. The biggest problem was the wind, which topped out with gusts of up to 80 miles per hour. Reardon says a storm of that magnitude led to some cattle loss at the worst possible time for farmers, who are already struggling.
Yeah, it did, unfortunately, and at a time, I mean, where the on-farm economy has been with milk prices lately, it just comes at a really difficult time for our farmers. The estimates right now are around 1,800. Farmers have been reporting to the Washington State Dairy Federation on losses, so they've been keeping a total for us.
She says the real story in the storm's aftermath is how farmers across the Yakima Valley have came together to help each other out.
The way that all of our farmers have come together to really help each other, you know, ones that maybe didn't lose any cows on their farm have been at their neighbors trying to help them, and everyone was working together to get prepared. A lot of farmers worked a 36-hour day over the weekend and were just up all night doing what they could, making sure that the roads were plowed for emergency vehicles and that their employees could get home safely. I mean, they've just been working around the clock.
The whole state was hit by the winter storm. Even Seattle, which rarely gets measurable snowfall, wound up with several inches. Farmers and state officials are still assessing the damage, with the possibility of federal assistance coming soon.
We're on to better things. I know a lot of farmers are, you know, in that process of, again, just helping each other kind of assess next steps. And we have a lot of state agencies that are working together to see what federal assistance may be available for farmers since Governor Inslee did declare a state of emergency as well for the state. So there may be some assistance coming in from that angle as well.
In other national news, Senate Ag Committee leaders this week reintroduced the Pesticide Registration Improvement Act. The legislation would establish a framework for the EPA when registering pesticides. The senators, including Pat Roberts and Debbie Stabenow, say the legislation would improve the Environmental Protection Agency in providing timely approvals for crop protection tools. The bill also includes protections for farm workers, including resources to train farm workers in the safe and responsible application of pesticides. The senators say the original intent of the legislation has been to create a more predictable and effective evaluation process for pesticide decisions by coupling the collections of fees with specific decision review periods. The legislation includes technical changes and extends authority for the EPA to collect updated pesticide registration and maintenance fees through the fiscal year of 2023. The bipartisan PRIA legislation introduced this week is identical to what was passed in the Senate unanimously by voice vote in June of 2018. And in local news, a few things going on in the local area to tell you about. The Litchfield FFA chapter is currently holding their canned food drive. This canned food drive will be held through Tuesday, February the 26th. Items can be dropped by the Litchfield High School or sent to school with any Litchfield FFA member or student. And everyone is invited to stop by the Ag Shop in Litchfield next Thursday. where the chapter will be holding a pork patty lunch to celebrate National FFA Week. This lunch will be held from 11:30 to 1, and meals will be sold for $5, and they will include a pork patty sandwich, drink, cookie, and chips. For this Friday morning, February the 15th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.